Faithful for a little, I will bring us to the disciple who is part of the mission. And what Jesus said, and what he tells disciples to do. The disciples are all missions, right? Most commentators, however, are to say, as a volunteer, refer to anything God has given us to be stewards of. Could be anything. Or money. Could be the actual gift that comes out of the mouth. It actually can be God's word, because God's word is something that he has given to us to use as well, right? Regardless of exactly what these things are referred to, it is clear, though, that for us, as servants of Christ, the call to follow the spiritual glory requires us to work. The first concern, to make 100% return, required them to work. To work hard, work diligently. What did they hear when Jesus returned? Well done, good and faithful servant. Did you hear those words? Did you meet Jesus? I mean, this parable here is precisely a warning, isn't it? It's going to be too often. It's either one day you get to be with Jesus and he tells us, well done, good and faithful servant, or he says the opposite. You meet me and you never knew me, you could have never been to me. I have three examples this morning from my students of those who have worked for us. Three examples that should provide us encouragement and a model for how we are to use what God has given us to work for Christ. To make disciples, to build this kingdom, right? So the first passage that I want to look at is in Philippians chapter 2, if you can open that to me. Philippians chapter 2. These stories, by the way, are fairly not popular. Okay? These aren't the stories, you know, we don't name our kids after these people, all right? Anyone have no phone when you come to this? No? There's probably a reason for that, right? Paul, at this point in his ministry, was imprisoned in Rome. He decided he was going to testify to Caesar. He's the emperor of Rome in Rome, and he's in Jerusalem at the time. So, it's like about a ship on the bottom of the Rome. He doesn't need there. But to be imprisoned in Rome, wasn't, you know, that it could be 2 or 3 days a day, you know, 2 hours or 3 hours outside, right? I thought it necessary to send to you a Epaphroditus, my brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my ministry, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill near to death. Not only on him, but all on me also, lest I should have sorrow. I was more eager to send him therefore, that he may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be accepted to receive him in the Lord with all joy. And all is certain. Why have I not in any like him? For he nearly died for the Lord Christ. If Jesus was to complete the work, the church sent Epaphroditus and Timothy him what I wanted. He said, what he did for Christ. Here is an example that we have in the text today. It's someone who worked for Christ. Wasn't a super influencer, mega pastor, preaching the gospel to thousands, or healing people like Paul or Peter did. What did he do? He walked. An example for us is he can do anything for Christ with whatever. Show mercy to the household of the Nicephorus. Because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was alone, he searched hard for me until he found me. And the Lord grant that we will find mercy from the Lord on that day. He knows very well that in many ways he helped me. Wasn't good for your social reputation. And yet, what did Nicephorus do? He searched hard to find him anyway. He seemed embarrassed, he seemed probably lost his job. And then he found him. And it says that he often depressed him, often, more than once, caring for him and taking care of him. And that's not the first time that he called Paul into it. When Paul was at Ephesus, and his course was there, it took him in two ways. Here's another example of someone working to care for Paul and provide for him, so that Paul can preach the gospel to the church in Rome and make a difference for Christ. Here's an example of what it is to work for Christ. Let's see. Looking at Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 11. This story is a little bit more popular. I think we're in the story about the followed the Dorcas maid while she was with her. The Peter took them all the time. Returning to the body, she said, "God's love, I want this." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she saw him. And she gave him his hand and raised him up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it's been known for all the trouble, and many believed in the Lord. So I can think of this story and think of Peter. Look at Peter. You know, God has called him as an apostle to bring someone from the dead. And many believe in the Lord. Amen. All the glory of God. And yet, if it wasn't for who Martha was before she died, you see the urgency that then had Peter come right away and look at him. How does the text of Luke here describe who Martha was? Because she was full of good works and acts of charity. And then Peter jumps to the room, right? He walks upstairs, and what is he telling? All of these good acts. Peter, look at this. Peter, look at what she did for me. Look at the clothes she made for me. What else do you know? Some of the most marginalized people groups at the time. Well, in Jerusalem, they had such if you were to die suddenly, would you have the same response as the funeral of the tradition? When people come from everywhere, it's not everyone's call to have the when you look back at your life, or when you look into something now, how do you want to be remembered? Or do you want your life story, your testimony, to be a all three of these examples, it is two examples, not because these are the super mega people that are super influential and going to do all these amazing things, or right? You know, cure cancer, or raise people from the dead, but you did that. But these three, what did they do? They walked, they searched, they refreshed people to a house of study, they made clothes for wounds. Look at this example. Anyone can do these things. And importantly, that when these three things happened, when they went to go be with Jesus, that they heard these words, well done, good. The warning for us to tell for us today is simple. Do you think that when you meet Jesus, you will hear what you're doing? Singing your songs, singing your words, 3 months, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Are you working for Christ like the first two servants? Or is your life success more of what is a candle made but gold? He that works much lives much. We are servants of Christ. The God has worked before us, laid them out for us to do as believers. Then what should we do? The work. It's like a candle only has one function. Basically, we, as servants of Christ, have one job, that is to burn and serve. And this is enough of an example or a reason why we should work and serve Christ. It's
is not a wicked and hateful master who destroys everything from us and gives nothing in return. No, no, no. Jesus is a loving and gracious master who worked on the cross for us before we ever believed. While we were still sinners, right? He died for us. He shed his blood for us. He fought for us. And more than that, he bore God's wrath for us. I think the work Jesus did so that we could be saved has to be not respond in living in our lives in the kingdom. So as we move now to hearing the stories of those in our church who passed away, the stories of those who God was using just this morning to examine their lives. How do you want to live? Will you hear those words? This morning, for this morning, it was incredibly convicting to me that in the past, working and serving, what you called me to do is what you've made me for.